Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church. And I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Church, and we're going to get into a new series today called The Question. And I'm really excited about this because this is a question that you've probably actually heard me say before. I've used this question very, very often because I learned about this question about 5 years ago in a book called Ask It by Andy Stanley. And I watched a sermon series that he did 5 years ago on it, and it has always stuck with me. One of the sermon series that has impacted me the most. And I've preached on this before, and that question has showed up in many of my sermons, but it's been a long, long time since we really dove into it. And so for the next 6 weeks, we're going to get into this question. And this is the question that gives clarity to every other question, because every day you and I have to answer questions, because every day you and I are given these opportunities, given these possible experiences, and we have to decide, should I stay or should I go? Should I call? Should I not call? Should I take the job? Should I not take the job? Should I quit? Should I start? Should I keep going? All of these questions, every single day, there's these opportunities in front of us. And in the midst of these opportunities, we can make a decision that we feel like is right, and it can sometimes be the right decision, and it can be a beneficial impact on our lives. But other times, we feel like we're making the right decision, and then we go, oh no, turns out I didn't make the right decision. I thought I was making the right decision, but now I'm seeing negative outcomes. Now I'm hurting people's feelings. Now I'm getting in trouble. Now I'm ended up in all of these different situations. All of these potholes are starting to show up in my life. What happened? What went wrong? What do we do in the midst of those situations? How do we bring clarity to those very confusing times in our life? And so the question that we're going to start to ask, the question that gives clarity to all other questions, is this question right here. What's the wise thing to do? We're all going to say it together, all right? Ready? One, two, three. What's the wise thing to do? Yeah. I mean, it's already starting to sound good, right? We want this question to become the centerpiece of your decision making. Every time that you have to answer, should I stay, should I go, what should I do, should I quit, should I keep going, we want you to ask yourself this question right here, because this is the question that brings clarity to every other question. What's the wise thing to do? Because in those midst of those difficult decisions, what's right and what's wrong may not be very clear. What's right and what's wrong may have actually changed because of the season that you're in. We have to ask ourselves this question. We owe it to ourselves to ask this question. And in the book called Ask It, Andy Stanley, he talks a little bit about where he got this question from. And he actually got it from something that Paul said in Ephesians. Paul wrote this letter to this church that he started called Ephesus. Each one of those books of those Bible, especially in the New Testament, are either firsthand accounts of things that people saw Jesus do or were letters that people actually wrote. And so he writes this letter to this church in Ephesus. And he writes them and he starts to talk about not doing the right thing, not about what's the wrong thing, but he talks about the wise thing. And this is what he says to him in Ephesians 5, verse 15. He goes, this is what I want you guys to do. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, that word right there, careful, in the Greek, it means to look around. Be observant. You ever walk and you're not looking where you're going, and then you trip, or you notice like all of a sudden the floor levels have changed, and you're like, whoa, I wasn't looking around. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't see that coming. You got to keep your eyes open in life. You need to be careful. You need to be observant. You need to see where you're going, but you also need to be able to observe the big picture. Don't get tunnel vision and don't get stuck on just one thing. Be observant about what's going on around you and what might be the steps that are being taken up ahead. You got to be careful. You got to live not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. The Greek word there for opportunity means that the days are numbered. Meaning there's only so much time. Meaning there are only so many opportunities. Meaning you only get your kids in your house for so long. You're only able to influence them for so long. You're only in your 20s for so long. You're only in your 30s for so long. You only get this season of life. You got to make the most of every opportunity, because the opportunity that might be here now may not be there later. And you need to make sure you're on the right path, because the path up ahead is leading to something that might be an opportunity. But if you, in the midst of that path, take a detour and go somebody else, you've squandered that opportunity. So you got to be careful. You got to keep your eyes open. You got to live not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, word evil, what that word evil means is that there are traps all around you. That all around us are these potholes just waiting for us. All around us are opportunities where the enemy just tries to slip us up. Where there are temptations all around us that could take away our careers, that could end our relationships, that could take us down a road we don't want to go, that could be detrimental to our health. There are things all around us that could detour us from the path that we're supposed to be on. There are things all around us that could hurt us, that could harm us, that can cause a lot of tears, a lot of frustration, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. So in order to avoid those, we need to live as wise, not as unwise. And he says, so therefore, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. You can't be foolish. You can't afford to be foolish. You can't afford to live your life and not know. You can't afford to live your life and go, well, I didn't see that coming. You should have seen that coming. God's given you the tools to be able to avoid that and to be able to see some of these things that are coming. Some of these things came in your life because of decisions you've made. And so you can't afford to live as foolish. The people in your life, your family, they're counting on you. You can't afford to live foolishly. But instead, understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what God is trying to drive you to. Understand what God is trying to give you. Understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has blessings for you. God has opportunities for you. God has things he wants to do in you that you didn't even know you could do. But in order for you to get there, you got to be careful. You got to live as wise. You can't afford to be unwise, and you got to make the most of every opportunity. You deserve that. You owe it to yourself, because we are on fixed time. Now, this is so very important. Such an important question. A question that gives us so much clarity just in that. What's the wise thing to do? But what we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to talk about this for the next 6 weeks. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to break this question down a little bit, because there's actually three dimensions to this question. This is actually a much bigger question, so we're going to kind of draw it out a little bit. Because sometimes what the wise thing to do right now isn't always clear. Sometimes the wise thing to do right now is different than it was yesterday. In the future, what the wise thing to do may be different than how we would answer that question today. So we're going to look at this in three different dimensions, because we can't be deceived. And it's easy to be deceived. It's so easy. We can trip ourselves up. We can deceive ourselves. Because how many times have we asked that question, what's the wise thing to do? And we thought this was the wise thing to do. It turns out it wasn't the wise thing to do. Sometimes we talk ourselves into stuff that we shouldn't have talked ourselves into. And that's the thing. We are a lot of times our own worst enemy. Last week we said, what's the common denominator in every problem? What's the common denominator in every failed relationship? What's the common denominator there? Me. Me. Because wherever you go, there you are, is what we said last week, right? Wherever you go, there you are. At some point, I've got to take responsibility for my life. At some point, I've got to be responsible for me, and I can't play the blame game any longer, and I got to stop pointing my fingers, and I got to stop talking about, well, he did that, and she did that. No. I got to take responsibility for my life. I can't be afford to be deceived any longer, and I've got to ask myself this question, what's the wise thing to do? But let's talk about the three dimensions of this question. Let's get into this. And let's try to discover what it really the wise thing to do is. So the first dimension of this question is this. In light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? Go ahead and go to that next slide. In light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do. Have you ever felt like your life was in the midst of a deja vu, you know? And you're like, wow, life, I'm in the midst of this situation. I'm in the midst of this problem. I feel like we've already had this episode, you know? Like my wife, when she was at home after we had our second child, she discovered Grey's Anatomy on Netflix. And so for the 8 weeks that she was home with our child, she tore through every season of Grey's Anatomy on Netflix, which I don't know if you know this or not. There's like 1,800 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. Grey's still trying to figure it out. And so recently, she was like, she's watching new seasons of it now. And she's like, Michael, this is the best show on earth. This is the greatest. I mean, there's drama, there's love. This is great. You've got to watch this with me. And I'm like, I have no idea who these people are, but I'll try it. So we started from the beginning on Netflix. I started with her. I have binge-watched Grey's Anatomy. And let me tell you, it's the same episode about every six, okay? That's what they do. They are just recycling these things. Grey keeps finding herself in the same trouble again and again and again. Get over it, Grey. Learn something. You're like 45 now. Come on, grow up. But maybe that's your life. Maybe that's like it's reruns. It's the same storyline. It's the same ending to the story. And you're like, man, haven't we been here before? What is this? Is this just like a cycle we're on? It's like a revolving door of problems. Every job ends the same way. Every outcome, it's never different. Every relationship kind of goes the same direction. Every time we get into this area, into this season of life, this is what happens. Why does this continue to happen? Well, possibly the thing that you haven't learned yet is that you continue to do the same thing but expect different results. Because isn't it true that you and I, we think we can change the outcome? You know, we think we can be in control, and what we do is we believe we can manage these outcomes. And what we say is, I know that the last time I went there, I know the last time I made this decision, I know the last time I drank this, I know the last time that I got that job, I know the last time I overbooked myself this much, I know the last time we put this much on our plate, but this time, right? But this time, that's not going to happen. But this time is going to be different. But this time, I'm not going to allow it to go that far. But this time, and we keep doing that. But this time, but this time, but this time. But what do we learn really quickly is that every time is like the last time. Because nothing's really changed. We're living in this deja vu. We're in this revolving door. We keep bringing the same problems to the same relationships. And nothing's ever really changing. And it's because we've never stopped and asked ourselves the question, in light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? At some point, if you're ever going to break the cycle, you've got to learn from your past experiences. You've got to learn from your past mistakes. You've got to look at what the past has taught you and decide what the wise thing to do is. I've shared this story before, but it's just perfect for the situation. When I was in Nebraska, I was a youth pastor. I would get together with other pastors. I did not like my boss. I did not like my lead pastor. We worked great together, but there was just a lot there, man. And guess what? All the other youth pastors that I got with, they didn't like their lead pastor either. I think it's just like an associates, like associate pastors just all hate their lead pastor. So if you ever see Pastor Carrie out with a bunch of group of friends and she's talking bad about me, you go up to her and you say, you stop that right now, all right? Pastor Mike is an angel. He held an umbrella for me outside today. Greatest moment of my life, all right? That's what you need to tell her. But associate pastors apparently hate their lead pastors. But anyway, we would go and we would get lunch together about every 2 weeks. We'd meet at Buffalo Wild Wings, and guess what would happen? Really, really quickly, somebody would start it. Same guy would start it every single time. Yeah, here's what I don't like about my pastor. You know what he did this week? You know what that idiot did? And you know what? All these people in my church, I don't like these people in the church. The parents of these teenagers, this is what they, and I mean, just come, and it would hit the domino, right? And here we go. Here go the dominoes. Here's what everybody starts to, you know, talk about. And so it would just turn into a gripe fest. And you know what? I would leave that lunch, and I would leave Buffalo Wild Wings, and I would just be, you know, I came in okay, but I would leave fired up. I'd be like, man, you know what? They're right. You know, I need I can't believe, all these lead pastors, all these parents, all my parents. And I would just leave so frustrated and angry to the point where anger became a problem in my life. I mean, I was not excited about going into the office each day. It would impact me for days on, and I noticed exactly the attitude problem that I had, how my character had changed just a little bit. And I went, what's going on here? Why is this? Why am I dealing with this? And I would pray about it. And you know what I found? Is, you know what? Every time I would go to that lunch, it would fuel me. It would light the fire. It would make me angry. It would leave me unsettled. So you know what I stopped doing? I stopped going to lunch. Because in light of my past experiences, what I found is that that atmosphere, those group of friends, great group of guys, great group of friends, that was not the right environment for me to be in, emotionally, spiritually. I couldn't go anymore, so I stopped going. Now, here's why this question is so great. Is it wrong to go to a group of friends and to have lunch? No. It's not wrong, not a sin. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Is it wrong to, you know, talk to people, to vent to people? No, absolutely not, right? But for me, in light of my past experiences, not everybody else's past experiences, not everybody else's temperament, not everybody else's character, not what's best for everybody else, but for me, in light of my past experiences, was it the wise thing to do to go to that lunch anymore? Absolutely not. And so I stopped going. And you know what happened? My attitude changed, and my work environment changed, and my character changed, and I was better off for it. In light of your past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? In light of what happened last time, when you were around those friends, when you went to that party, when you went and you were a part of that kind of environment, when you joined that kind of job, when you overbooked yourself that much, when your schedule had that much on your plate, in light of what happened the last time you were there, what's the wise thing to do now? Now, the second dimension of this question gets even better. In light of my current circumstances, in light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? See, you just got married. You just got married, all right? And I know you like hanging out with your bro friends, and Friday night was girls' night, and you know, you just love those things, but now you're married, okay? There's two of you now. So now, in light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? You just had a baby. You just had two babies. God bless you, you just had twins, okay? I know what you want to do, and I know what you've usually done before, but in light of your current circumstances, where you are right now, what's the wise thing to do? You just got divorced. You just broke up with somebody. And you want to get back in the saddle. And you want to meet somebody else. And you would love to get in a committed relationship again. Of course you would. I know you would. And it would be so great. But in light of where you currently are, in your current circumstances, in your current state, where you are, what's the wise thing to do right now? What's the wise thing for you to do? I know you want to go spend money. I know you've got these trips you want to take. I know these things. But as of right now, you don't have a job. You're living in your mom's basement. Okay, so we're in right now, not forever. Not maybe it was okay to do 5 years ago. Maybe it was been okay to do 2 years ago. But right now, in light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? Now, you want a new car, man. You want a new car. As a matter of fact, you want a truck. Okay. You want a truck, man. You want a big old bed, big old truck, big wheels, man. You want a truck. Sorry, this is just my Troy accent. This is just what I think about Troy. This is just what I think about. You want a truck, man. You want a Chevy. You want a big old Chevy Ford 150. Give me. All right. You want a big old truck, and man, you win. You went to the loan department, and they're like, of course you can afford it. You could totally afford this truck, man. Get it. We'll give you a great deal. And you're like, man, they're going to give me a great deal. And you're looking at your current circumstance. Man, you got this car. Man, it's running down. It's got 90,000 miles on it, man. It's about to blow up. You know, that's why I hear you guys talk. Man, I had almost $100,000 on that car. It was basically a problem on the road, you know? So I had to get, I need this truck, and it's a great deal. But here's the thing, in light of your current circumstances, in light of where you are right now, you have three payments left on your current vehicle, and you're in debt, you're in school debt, you're in credit card debt. So in light of where you are right now, your wife is going to kill you if you come home. In light of your current circumstances, not forever. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a truck. I'm not saying it's bad to buy a new car. It is a wise thing to do. But today, in light of your current circumstances, is that the wise thing to do? Because you've been telling your pastor, I would love to give, I would love to be generous, and I will one day when I can afford it. But right now there's a truck. You know, in light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? See, you ask that question, and it just brings a lot of clarity to even the foggiest situations. Because we're not saying later it would be wrong to do. We're not saying you shouldn't ever do those things. We're not saying it's wrong to do those, have those experiences, to own those things. But what we're saying is right now in your current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? Because what was dangerous before, what's dangerous in the future, might be different than what's dangerous right now. And right now, there might be an opportunity for evil. There might be a trap in front of you right now that may not have been there before, may not be there later, but right now it's a trap that you need to avoid. And the last part of this question is this: in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Everyone in this room is old enough to realize that at some point in time, your dreams change. You miss the train on your hopes, on your dreams. Sometimes you look back and you go, wow, what did I do? You know, I was going to do these things. I was going to go back to school. I was going to become this. I was going to learn this. And then all of a sudden you realize, I didn't do it. I missed that train. I let it go. I missed my opportunity. How did that fly by so quick? It's because so many times we didn't stop and ask ourselves, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what should I be doing today? In light of who I want to be tomorrow, in light of who I want, what I want to experience in the future, what should I be doing today? Because the decisions that you make today impact what you're able to do in the future. And many of us are not willing to make the steps that we need to take today in order to build the future that we actually want to have. And so we make unwise choices today. We get caught up in things that we can have today that we won't have tomorrow. And we miss what we wanted in our future. And we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to abandon our hopes and dreams. Do you want to be financially secure in the future? Do you want to be out of debt in the future? Would you like to move out of your parents' basement in the future? Would you like to move out of an apartment and own a home in the future? Would you like to own a different home in the future? Would you like to be able to be in the position that one day when your kids are in financial trouble or they need help and they come to you in the same way that you went to your parents and your parents provided you with financial help and they helped you pay for college and they helped you get that car and they helped you pay off that loan in the same way that your parents were in that position to help you? Do you want to be in that position for your kids one day? Then guess what? You've got to start doing things today that builds that future tomorrow. You've got to begin to make wise decisions right now to build that kind of future for yourself, to build that kind of future for your kids. The decisions have to start today. Let me ask you a question. We don't talk about, probably nobody else is talking about this in the face of the planet or anywhere else in Troy, but let me ask you, where do you want your health to be in the future? Have you thought about this? Where do you want your health to be? What's your future hopes and dreams for your health? Would you like to live to see your grandkids, to see your great-grandkids? Would you like to live to walk your daughter down the aisle one day? Would you like to live a life where you're able to be active and play and take care of yourself? Some of that stuff's not up to us, but a lot of it, let's be honest, in our culture today, we do a lot of stuff that sabotages our health and our future. Would you like to have a life where you weren't having to take pills or inject things in your body to be able to stay active, to be able to stay alive, to be able to? There are things you could do right now that could avoid some of those things. There are decisions you could make. If that's the kind of future that you would like to have, if your hopes and dreams are to be able to live a certain lifestyle and to have a certain health in the future and to be able to do certain things, then there are probably some decisions that you should make at lunch today. I mean, that's the reality. Is that what are your future hopes and dreams for your health? Because what you do today will impact who you are and how you are and your status in the future. You've got to make the decisions today. Here's the thing. Personal vision is a very powerful catalyst. And it's something that you need to think about. It's something that you need to talk about. It's something you and your spouse need to sit down. You and your family want to sit down and go, you know, where would we like to be in the future? Where would we like to be 5 years from now? Where would we like to be a year from now? Where would we like to be 10 years from now? Where would you like your marriage to be? Would you still like to be married? Well, then guess what? There are things you need to start to do now to be able to build that kind of marriage. Where do you want your health to be? Where do you want your finances to be? Here's the thing we don't think about enough. Where do you want to be spiritually in the future? What do you think God would like to do in you as a leader? What kind of impact do you think that he would like to have in you through your career, through your gifts, through your talents? What kind of legacy do you think that God would love to have celebrated at your funeral one day? Because guess what? The decisions that we make today directly impact our hopes and dreams of the future. And if we have hopes and dreams for our future, then we need to start making some wise decisions today. So here's the thing. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about this. And you can already see this question gives you great clarity, doesn't it? Let's go through this, the whole question. In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? We're going to say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? See, when you ask this question, all the cloudiness goes away. All the excuses are removed. And you have perfect clarity on what you actually ought to do. So, this week, here's what I want you to do. This week, your homework is to ask this question. That's all I want you to do. You don't even have to do it. Just ask the question, okay? Now, if you want bonus points, you'll actually do the wise thing. But I want you to just ask this, because here's the thing. In just asking this question, you know what's going to happen? You're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to learn something about yourself. Teenagers, this is the best tool I could give you right now in your current season of life. Man, if you could, your parents right now are thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, if I could go back in my 20s, if I could go back to that prom night, if I could go back to that, oh my goodness, the things I would have done differently if I had been able to see my hopes and dreams, if I had been able to understand my current circumstances, if I had learned from the past experiences, oh, I would have done things differently. But teenagers, right now, this could be the greatest tool I could give you to help you to avoid some of the evil that is around you. And some of the evil that is around you is greater than the evil that is even around me right now. And you need this question. But teenagers, let me say this. You ask this question. Do not be surprised. I am giving you spoiler alert. This is what probably is going to happen is you are going to ask this question. What's the wise thing to do? And it is probably going to sound like something your parents have been telling you. See them all giggle? They know. They know. because here's why they giggle. Because their parents did it to them. Okay? All right? So don't let them make you feel bad, Gavin. All right? So it's okay. Because they're just giggling because they know. Because they did it to their parents. Because they said, you don't know what you're talking about. But you asked this question and it sounds something like your parents have been telling you. Maybe it's something you should listen to. Maybe in light of their past experiences, they're just trying to protect your future hopes and dreams. Husbands, you ask this question, and it sounds like something your wife's been telling you. Oh, man, you're in trouble. But let's say that it does sound like something that your wife has been trying to tell you. Your wife has been trying to get you to do. Your wife has been trying to, let's sit down. Let's, maybe we should stop spending money on that. Maybe we should write a budget. Maybe we should go to church. Maybe we should, and all of a sudden it sounds like something your wife has been telling you to do. You just learned something about yourself. Wives, if you ask this question and it sounds like anything your husband has been telling you, it's a miracle. I mean, you are so blessed. Now here's the real danger. This sounds like something your mother-in-law has been telling you. Oh, praise your soul. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow. Now here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, if you're on the fence, if you're just here, if we trapped you today, and you ask this question, and it's something that you know you should be doing, and you still don't do it, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with a lot of us, and all of us have done this at one point or another. We've known the answer to this question, but we've not done it anyway. We've done the opposite. We've been unwise. Here's the thing that just taught you about yourself, is that you don't have your best interests at heart. Because, see, the reason God gave us this question and the reason that God gave us this tool and the reason that Paul was trying to pass on not what was right or what was wrong, but what was wise onto the church at Ephesus is because wisdom is a gift from God. And the thing is that God is trying to help you make the wise decision because God has your best interests at heart. But if you don't want to do what God tells you is wise, then here's the thing. You don't have your best interest at heart. And if you don't have your best interest at heart, then who do you think will? Because you have to have your best interests. Because nobody else will for you. Because everybody is after what they want. So if you don't have your best interest in mind, then who will? You owe it to yourself to ask this question. You owe it to yourself to know the answer. And then the choice is up to you. What is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Ask it, find it, and you'll learn something about yourself. And then we're going to talk about next week how to choose to follow it. Let me pray for you today. God, this morning, God, I thank you so much for this question that you taught me, that I didn't come up with, but I discovered. And God, this question has given me and my life so much clarity. God, I thank you so much. And I pray that this morning that we would begin to ask this question, that in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances and my future hopes and dreams, God, would you allow me the opportunity to stop before every decision and ask myself, what's the wise thing to do? Because God, not everybody's future is the same as my future. Not what everybody wants, not everybody's hopes and dreams are the same as my hopes and dreams. And you know what? Not everybody's current circumstances are the same as my current circumstances. In light of my experiences, it's different than other people's experiences. And so, God, would you allow me to search myself and my experiences, my circumstances, and my future? And would that be a very powerful catalyst for change in my life? Would you help me to make the best decisions, the wise decisions for myself, for my family, for my marriage, for my kids, so that I can be who you created me to be, so that I can take hold of the opportunities that you have for me, so that I can avoid the evil days that are in front of me, the traps that the enemy is already setting. God, would you help me to be wise in the same way that you gave your son Solomon, your apostles, like Paul, the wisdom that they needed? Would you give me that same wisdom?
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.